Third, choose a mentoree who is serious and who is committed to the relationship. Don't waste your time on those individuals who are not prepared to put forth the effort for personal growth and development. Find someone who wants to learn. Find someone who wants to learn to ask the right questions, the tough questions that call forth deep thinking. Look for someone who seeks improvement with himself or herself. Some mentorees may desire to be associated with you for reasons other than learning and growth. So be sure to check out their motivation prior to entering into the mentoring relationship. Fourth, choose a mentoree who exhibits a potential that you sincerely believe in. Now, this may at first sound a bit judgmental, but all I am really trying to say is choose someone whom you believe really can succeed, someone who really can develop and grow in the specific area of mentoring if they really work at it. If, as a mentor, you really don't believe your mentoree has the potential to succeed, you would merely be going through the motions, and those motions would be less than your best because you are already biased that success is highly improbable. If a great artist called me to be his protege, he or she would find me to be an overdose of frustration and soon realize my lack of potential for such a calling. My artistic ability is about zero. Matter of fact, it's sub-zero. Now, I'm not too bad with circles and squares, but anything more complex is bad news. Now, my wife, on the other hand, would make an excellent protege. As a commercial and graphic artist, she has loads of potential ready to spring forth. She drew a quick sketch of me once that I thought was rather impressive. Not because it was of me, but because of her talent to make it look like me. I took her sketch pad and pencil and asked if I might draw her. By the time I was through, which, by the way, didn't take very long, she looked more like a monster than a human being. Now, obviously, we didn't frame it and put it above the fireplace. But this little story illustrates the point very well. My wife had the artistic potential, not me. Now, I could probably learn an awful lot about art, about perspective, about sketching, and shading. But I would never be able to draw like her. I simply don't have that potential ability within me. So as a mentor, choose a mentoree in whom you see the potential to succeed. Often what individuals with potential need more than anything else is someone to acknowledge and draw out the potential within them. These are some important points to remember when selecting a mentoree. As a mentor, you will want to be mentored as well. In other words, you will want to model the same learning posture you expect of your mentoree. We don't all of a sudden go from mentoree to mentor, but rather both should occur at the same time. You can mentor a mentoree and be a mentoree under the mentorship of another. You see, the learning never stops. The impact never stops. The investing in another person's life never stops. And if you are going to choose the best mentor possible, here are some points to consider. First, decide what it is you want mentored to you. Since the perfect mentor who knows everything is few and far between, probably non-existent, you'll have to discern your area of need and then find the appropriate mentor. If you need help with your prayer life, then find someone in this area who intimately knows the practice of this discipline. If you discern a need to grow in your understanding in finances, then choose someone who demonstrates expertise in this area. Decide what your need is. This will narrow the list of possible candidates and help you to be specific and precise with what you need as a mentoree. Second, find someone you can genuinely respect. Don't place him or her on too high of a pedestal. Idolize Jesus Christ, not a man, but do offer the respect deserved to someone who takes the time to invest their life in you. Third, choose a mentor who will keep you on track. Ask for his or her help in keeping you asking the right questions, seeking the right answers, and searching in the right places. Choose a mentor who will be a resource of information for you. Fourth, choose a mentor who understands their role and who has the time to meet with you and devote to the relationship. When a mentor takes the time for you, do your part. Be prepared. Do your homework. Assimilate what has been taught. Ask questions that reveal your deep thinking on the issue. Please your mentor with your progress. And don't give up. Stick to your commitment. It is wise to discuss with your mentor what it is you hope to gain and what you would like to receive. Discuss the roles of each party and agree upon a level of commitment mutually beneficial for each of you. Fifth, go for the best mentor possible. Don't allow fear or low self-esteem to cause you to choose someone less than the best. Often we say, "Oh, he would never consider mentoring someone like me." Well, this is simply a prejudgment upon the part of the mentoree that excludes him or her from possibly attaining the best of mentors. If the prospective mentor, for some reason, doesn't want to be involved in the relationship or cannot be involved in the relationship, then let it come from their lips, not yours. This point was brought home to me during my days as a furniture salesman. Sales are often missed because of a prejudgment on the part of the salesperson. An elderly woman walked into the store one day, and no one wanted to help her. They thought, in their minds, she's just an old woman. She'll never buy anything. Well, I took the time to help her and sold her a day bed and mattress for her apartment. As it turned out, she lived in the same apartment complex as I did, and we became good friends. A prejudgment on my part would have led to a lost sale, and more importantly, a lost friendship. Go for the best mentor. And if they say no, then at least you tried, and the no came from them. But if they say yes, which they may more than likely be inclined to do, then you found yourself an excellent mentor. The last point, but certainly not the least important, is to pray for God's guidance. As with anything in life, when we seek His direction, He gives it. Ask God to lead you to the right mentor, the one that will benefit you the most. Choosing the right mentor or mentoree is such an important task that the extra time and effort in prayer and waiting for God's sure leading is well worth the wait. Following these helpful hints can spare you a lot of frustration and enable you to glean the most from your mentoring relationship. Since finding someone who is so talented and available to mentor all aspects of life for you is a rarity, the more practical scenario is to choose individuals who have the skills and availability to mentor very specific areas. This means that over the course of a lifetime, you will probably have many mentors because your needs change over the years. At age 30, for instance, you may sense a need to be mentored in the area of leadership. How do you make your time really count toward leading and influencing others? At 40, you may need to be mentored in the areas of financial planning. At 50, there is another need, and another at 60. Our needs change according to increasing age, life experiences, and one's present situation. During my first full-time pastorate, I became aware of my need for better, refined interpersonal skills. I found someone to mentor this particular area for me and have now become quite adept with this issue. After this setting, my next new ministry environment revealed a need in another area. In addition to different experiences, different ministry environments, and age increases, one's depth of relationship with the Lord also changes over time. What one needs to learn as a new believer are not the same things needed as a mature believer. God uses life in its totality to make us more like our Savior Jesus Christ. What I now know in my relationship with God is beyond what I knew 10 years ago. As a matter of fact, there was probably no way I would have known back then what I know now. I was at a different level of relationship and depth with the Lord. I couldn't have gone from level A to level F had I not gone through levels B through E. So as we grow and mature in the Lord, our relational depth with Him changes over time, which means that our spiritual needs are changing also. Different mentors help to meet these different needs. So over the course of a lifetime, one will probably be involved in many mentoring relationships. Not only could someone experience several mentoring relationships during the course of a lifetime, but one could also experience several of them at one time or during the same time. It is not wrong, nor is it impractical, to be mentored, let's say, about finances and prayer at the same time by two different mentors. It is also not uncommon to mentor someone and be mentored simultaneously. That's okay. As a matter of fact, that's encouraged. That is good. Because the mentoree is being mentored, and the mentor himself or herself is submitting themselves to learning more under the mentorship of someone else, setting an excellent and fine example for the mentoree. My point is this. There are all kinds of mentoring relationships that can occur over the course of a lifetime, depending on increases in age, depending on changing ministry environments, depending on changing situations and circumstances, depending on changing needs, both spiritual and otherwise, and changing spiritual maturity. Because of the constant changes in one's needs, the type of mentors one chooses will vary as much as the needs do. So not only will there be different types of mentors to meet the different types of needs, it must be pointed out that some needs are more important than others. This being the case, the type of relationship one has with the mentor is proportional to the need. Some relationships will be much more intense and require much more accountability because the need calls for it, while one relationship calls for weekly 5:30 a.m. meetings with high accountability. Another might call for a monthly meeting or whenever is convenient, possibly even by phone, if proximity is a problem. As with all relationships, there are varying levels of involvement and intensity depending on the need. This is the end of number 7.